I just figured if I kept those two and I had to separate them, that they would both be by themselves. So I went back and forth and back and forth on that one.
Well, I appreciate all you did.
Not a problem. You're all set.
Okay.
You're all set.
All right, we'll get back to the meeting and we'll do a roll call. We have Jason Miller, an agency member, Ray Bowers.
Here.
Carmen DeCenzo. And Carmen, what's your official title?
Official title?
Yes.
Economic Development Liaison.
All right. And I'm sorry, I don't know the other lady in the meeting here. Correa?
Irene Correa. I'm a project manager from Fuel Cell Energy.
Okay. We have Alan Shepard, I see. Ryan McAvoy representing our engineering department. Attorney Dominic Thomas. Jennifer Jerosius. And Mark is hosting the meeting. And I have a phone number here. I don't know who that is. 203-209-0055.
That's George Schrade.
Yeah. George Schrade.
All right, George. Next item on the agenda. Any additions, deletions, or corrections to the agenda? I guess this is a special meeting, so we really can't add any items. I don't foresee any corrections to be made. Next item on the agenda is the application Derby Commerce Park submitted by Schrade Roosevelt LLC for property known on Assessor's Map 7-8, Parcel 1. The property is located along the Naugatuck River. The applicant is purchasing the property from the City of Derby. A high bay building is proposed with outside storage related to storage of heavy equipment and vehicles. I don't know if Attorney Thomas, are you going to take the lead on this?
Or? Well, I'm representing the applicant, Schrade Roosevelt LLC. In between the last meeting and this meeting, we received a report from Ryan McAvoy, the city engineer, and that report was sent to Shepard. Alan has since responded and revised the plans in accordance with Ryan's comments. And I know Ryan reviewed those replies today and issued an updated report today to address the comments. So with that, I'm not sure. I think I should probably let Ryan comment on his comments and then Alan can respond. Or Ryan, would you rather let Alan, want Alan to go?
I think I would like to have Alan represent the changes that he made to the plans for the agency.
Okay. Alan, you've got to unmute yourself.
We still can't hear you, Alan.
Can you unmute? There should be a button somewhere around there that says unmute, or there's a...
On your bottom left.
On your hashtag across your... or the top, if you're using an iPhone, it might be on the top. It says mute. You see it? If you hit it...
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can.
Yes.
All right.
All right, so what from the last meeting, Ryan had a few comments, so I will go over those comments with the board. He had questions about the 18-inch trench drain to the northern parking lot area in between the two rain gardens. And I'm using that trench drain just to interconnect the two rain gardens so they have flow. Number two, the roof drain systems. What I'm saying for that is that we'll work that out. I put a pipe on the plan, a 12-inch pipe that goes to the rain garden to pick it up. And once we have the detailed plans, we'll size the gutters and everything appropriate for that. And to that point, I just want to point out that we are taking like the first inch of rainfall for that into the rain garden. The rest of it, anything that doesn't get handled by the roof drains will go into the rain gardens over land, and I think that's fine. There's no floor drains proposed for the building. We have added some cross sections for the rain garden area, so that's on the plan, so that's depicted. We have added a planting plan to the project that was, we went over in some detail before. I had the field guys go out there and locate some trees that you can see on the planting plan. So I think there's some opportunities to save some trees. Next to rain garden number one, there's a series of trees in between the property line and the wetland that I think will help. We added some more trees to the plan, some planting, some trees. It's not going to hide the buildings, but it'll help. And I also located some trees in the rain gardens that we can try to save that look like they're worthwhile to try to save. And then there's a whole big area next to the northern part of the property that's wooded with aspens and oaks and other trees that I think we'll leave that alone, and that'll add for some greenery out there. You know, it will help soften. I think what we propose will help soften the project. We've added a detail for the retaining wall to the regard that we're going to have some retaining walls out there. They're small in grade, but there's one spot to get pitch around the easterly building. I do have to build that up with a wall. We have added some riprap along the driveway roadway edge to go into the rain garden number one. That will help for the erosion for that. The parking area to the north, we've added some contouring for that and some grading for that to show how that drains. And along with parking, you know, there's some spot elevations we added to the plan. And we do have a couple flat areas. The flat areas with 1%, we can pick that. Ryan wants to pick it up to 1.5%, and that's acceptable. There was a contour that we mismarked that we corrected. The limited disturbance plant we've adjusted. And this temporary setting of bin basins, I added some calculations to show where we sized, how we sized that. So there's a few comments that are still left over, which are type of comments that we'll correct, but they're not major comments.
Alan, could you answer the question? I know it was in Ryan's letter. With regard to, are there any proposed floor drains?
Oh, I did say that. I thought I did. There's no floor proposed. Floor drains.
Okay.
It's a warehouse building, so. So that, I think that pretty much addresses the concerns, except for a few typos that we'll correct. So if there's any questions.
Ryan, do you want to respond to any of that?
Yeah, so we reviewed the revised documentation provided by the applicant. They meet our comments. We have one suggestion about picking up the grade, revising the pitch of the grade of the road a little bit. It's really not a wetland issue. It was more of a general recommendation. So I don't feel that that's something that they necessarily need to provide. It's just more of a, you know, a polite suggestion. I think the changes they've made with regard to sediment erosion control and protection of the rain garden, particularly rain garden number one, I think are appropriate and actually should do a fairly nice job at providing water quality. They provided planting seed mixes for the rain gardens that I think should be viable given the hydrology of the area. So the only suggestions I would have moving forward, I think that I was a little confused on the landscaping plan with the, there was a line on the landscaping plan that suggested where trees are not to be cut. I would suggest that that line be reflected as the limit of disturbance that's shown in the sediment erosion control plan, just so it'd be one and the same. So that's kind of clear where, what the intent of the plan is with regard to tree clearing, along with disturbance. So I would ask that those be sort of matched together. Just a minor suggestion or recommendation that the discharge for the roof leaders from the building be terminated in a flared end section along with the riprap that they show. Very minor suggestion. And with regard to Mr. Shepherd's discussion on the roof leaders, often at this stage of a project, there is limited information as to how the roof is going to be pitched, and how rain gutters and downspouts will be oriented. But in general, they've provided for a collector pipe of some sort that would direct roof drains to rain garden one. And the reason why I am recommending that as opposed to directing the building to the north is because to the north side of the property, drainage generally is directed to the road and to the catch basins in the road, which goes into a piped conduit, which enters into the Naugatuck River. Whereas to the south is a much larger open sluice gate and flap gate that is, in my opinion, has more capacity to discharge stormwater in the event of a flooded condition along the riverbank. So it's just my opinion that directing as much of the site to the south would be beneficial overall, even though they both the north and south mm-hmm. both ultimately, of course, go to the Naugatuck River, so it's really no change in the ultimate destination of the water. It's just the means to convey it might be better suited to the south than the north. That's fine. Lastly, you know, if the agency is willing to consider approval of this application, as is the case in other applications, other site plans, there has been the incorporation or the installation of markers, little medallions, about 4-inch diameter medallions that are usually placed in a 4x4 post. It is a good visual for any future user of the property that going beyond a certain point is certainly not something that they should be doing without permission from this agency. And I would recommend that be required as part of this as well.
Do any of the agency members have any questions for the applicant? Okay, just for meeting purposes, Ryan's letter was dated June 2nd, revised June 10th. That's correct, right, Ryan?
It is correct, and I would recommend that you rely on my testimony at this meeting rather than necessarily the letter, because the letter was not posted on the city website a day okay. prior to. I have drafted I drafted a motion to approve this application where I incorporated the couple of items that I just discussed into that draft motion. So the letter from the 10th, I would not considered as part of the deliberations for this meeting.
Okay. Has that letter been posted? I mean,
No, the draft motion was emailed to the agency members. That is a draft. It's not part of the record until you vote to.
Okay, let me bring that up.
And I'd be happy to read it for the benefit of the public.
I don't think I received that, Ryan.
I sent it at
5:12?
5:18.
5:18.
To pdenise@frontier.com?
Yep.
And yeah. I also sent it to...
I got an email here. Let's see. I got it, but it says application status report.
It's all combined in one PDF.
Oh, okay, it is. Okay. Okay, yes, I have that. Yeah. Okay. Would you like to read that into the record?
I sure would, and then it can be open for discussion with the agency members.
Okay.
So this is a draft motion. June 10th, 2020, that the City of Derby Inland Wetlands Agency, having considered the factors pursuant to Section 10 of the regulations and after review of written and verbal information provided by the applicant, agency members and city staff finds the following. One, on May 11th, 2020, Schrade Roosevelt LLC, applicant, written application number 20051301 for activities within 50 feet of the wetlands and watercourses and other upland areas adjacent to the wetlands. These activities are associated with the creation of one building, parking, and an outdoor storage area for an industrial crane operation use. Two, a site and wetland boundary review has been prepared which identify the existing site conditions. Three, the applicant is not proposing stormwater detention due to the unique location of the parcel located behind the flood protection levee. Stormwater detention and delay of peak flows from the site may more coincide with high water levels in the Naugatuck River and is therefore not warranted. Four, there will be no direct wetland impacts with 0.43 acres of disturbance within the 50-foot regulated upland review area for the purpose of constructing the driveway and parking areas, site grading, landscaping, drainage improvements, etc. Six, that this application is not a significant activity in accordance with the definitions of significant activity, specifically subsections 6 and 8 as found in the regulations, and will require a summary ruling. Seven, best management practices have been employed in the design to promote stormwater quality and to control stormwater runoff. Practices include stormwater quality basins to collect stormwater runoff from the proposed parking areas and the proposed buildings where possible. Sedimentation and erosion control measures have also been incorporated into the design, including sediment filter fence, stabilized construction entrances, sediment trap, soil erosion control narrative, and detailed construction sequence. Seven, information was provided by the applicant, city staff, agency members during the special meetings held on May 13th, 2020 and June 10th, 2020. Therefore, the agency moves to approve application number 20051301 with modifications as presented and shown on the following documents submitted in support of the application. I won't go through these, but they are listed as items one through nine. And then I go on to, in addition to the requirements listed in sections 11.9, .12, and .13 of the regulations, the following stipulations also apply. One, the applicant shall submit a map depicting the location of medallions prescribed by the DIWA at intervals of no less than 75 feet on wood posts along the eastern limit of Rain Garden 1 adjacent to the wetland area 3, a limit of disturbance to the north of the parking area adjacent to wetland area 4, and along the toe of the retaining wall adjacent to wetland area 1. The locations of the medallion shall be reviewed and approved by the city engineer and or wetlands enforcement officer. Two, the site plan shall be modified to include the following. A, The roof leader discharge pipe will terminate in a flared end section with riprap splash pad in rain garden one. B, the limit of work line be adjusted so it's located between rain garden one and the adjacent wetland area. And C, the location of the medallions required in condition one. Condition three, pursuant to section 12 of the regulations, a bond covering the cost of the sedimentation and erosion control measures shall be filed with the city clerk. The amount of the bond shall be prepared by the applicant and approved by the city engineer and wetland enforcement officer. Four, all maintenance and refueling of equipment and vehicles shall be performed at least 50 feet or as far as practical from all wetlands and watercourses. Five, all disturbed areas on the site not directly required for construction activities shall be temporarily hayed and seeded until permanent vegetation is established. Six, after commencement of construction, an inspection of the condition, integrity, and adequacy of the sediment erosion controls shall be made by a qualified party on a regular basis at least once every 7 calendar days and within 24 hours of the end of a storm event that is 0.5 inches or greater, and until the city of Derby determines that inspections are no longer required. Seven, the wetland enforcement officer, city engineer, or other duly authorized representative of the city shall have the authority to direct the applicant, developer, and or contractor to install additional sediment and erosion control measures as conditions may warrant. Eight, a contact individual together with a 24-hour phone number shall be designated with the responsibility and authority to receive notices of any breaches or deficiencies of sediment erosion controls on site and to coordinate repair of any such breach or deficiency within 8 hours of the notice from the inspector, wetland enforcement officer, city engineer, or other duly authorized representative of the city. Nine, any further changes or modifications to the application presented shall be submitted to the agency to determine if additional review and approval is necessary. 10, lack of compliance with any stipulation that permit approval shall constitute a violation of the regulations. The cease and desist order shall be issued by the wetland enforcement officer. 11, the agency's decision to grant this approval makes no warranties or representations, either express or implied, that future regulated activities will be permitted on the site. 12, per section 11.5 of the regulations, the agency approves the application as a summary ruling and the applicant shall pay a fee of $200 to the City of Derby Finance Office. That is the draft motion, Mr. Chairman. And if there's any discussion from the agency members, now would be the time to have it.
Thank you, Ryan. Are there any questions of the applicant or of Ryan?
Are you speaking to about, you mean George Schrade?
Yes.
Or Dominic Thomas, his representative?
No, George, what they're saying is are there any questions of us, okay? Or, they're deliberating the motion right now. So if they have questions, now would be the time to ask us.
You're referring to me now. That's what I'm trying to ask. Oh, okay.
No,
I'll move on then.
No, yeah, you can hold on.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, if there are no questions by the members, I'd entertain a motion on the application.
I second it.
Okay, there was a first?
Yep.
Okay, there was a first and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, very good.
Aye.
So that was a positive vote of all commission members present?
Yes.
Okay,
with that, we'll go to the next item on our agenda. And let's see. An informal discussion concerning a proposed fuel cell power generation station at 200 Roosevelt Drive, the project by IDA Properties, Inc. for Derby Fuel Cell LLC. Just to give some background to this in terms of my knowledge about it, we initially had an application concerning this. There was an investigation and also a review on the part of our town attorney with regard to the matter. It is a project that is subject to review by the Connecticut Siting Council, similar to a cell tower. And what that means is we have no ability or authority over an application. However, hopefully we have the ability to comment and look after the best interest of the City of Derby. What I suggested at that point was that at least Ryan or some appropriate municipal department heads have the ability to review the proposal. And I guess there is a representative here who might give us an overview of the project.
Absolutely. My name is Derek Healy. I'm from Elm Electric. We're the consultant slash contractor that has been working with Fuel Cell Energy to make this project come to fruition. I'm going to share my screen if that's okay with you guys, because I have some drawings and renderings that I could pull up.
That would be great.
So what you're looking at now is just an overall site plan of the project. This is currently the IDA Industries building over here. This is an abandoned parcel next to it, which abuts the Switchyard station on Canal Street, if you're familiar with the area on Roosevelt Drive. What we're proposing here is five elevated platforms. Due to the location of the project, it was in a floodplain. So to get above the 100-year floodplain, we elevated this platform approximately 8 feet above grade. That way there, if there ever was a flood event, the equipment wouldn't get ruined. So as you see, there's basically five 3,000 plants. In total, they produce 14 megawatts of power. Each plant is a similar build out per platform. So you have just mirror images on each platform, which essentially do all the same thing. And then they interconnect back out to the grid in this switchyard over here. We're essentially going to be putting up all new chain link fence around the site afterwards to protect the site. There'll be a 30-foot rolling gate here to allow crane access for servicing this equipment. So basically, this equipment, whenever we need to service it, we could bring in a crane or a forklift to hoist the material up onto the platform. You have your gas metering pad over here. The plan is to run the gas line down Canal Street and then to the gas meter. Same thing with sewer. Sewer will run to a metering manhole right here, and then it will come up, tie into a new manhole, run down Canal Street and tie in on Route 34 in a manhole, all gravity fed. Water was going to be picked up off this street right over here. There's a existing water main that we're going to tie off into, bring it to a city water vault, an RPZ vault, and then a metered vault, a client meter vault. Fuel Cell likes to meter their own water for production reasons. So I know this is kind of looks like a lot on plan. Just so you know, we did have the wetlands flag, which are these markers down here. And this is your 50-foot buffer. And we're just right outside that 50-foot buffer with our construction. Being a platform, we're not disturbing the ground. This whole project is going to be on pile caps. So basically, we're driving piles down to ledge and pouring pile caps to support the platform. And on a side note, let me see if I could share this other image here. Because I think this really puts it into perspective. Can you guys see that okay?
Yes.
So this is a 3D rendering we did of the property with the fuel cells and the platforms. As you can see, the river is behind us. The switchyard would be to the right. That is Roosevelt Drive. That you see that car down there on. So as you're driving by, this thing's going to be elevated. It's all going to be galvanized steel construction to prevent corrosion and rust. We had metal grating in between the platforms and 2-inch stone underneath the platforms. And what that does for us is as the water drains off the grating, it hits a foot of stone. You won't have any erosion issues. And then the parking area where you see the skid steer, that has dense grated crushed stone for parking. So that's where we'll put the crane and any vehicles we need to maintenance. So you really shouldn't have any erosion issues with that larger stone under the platform. Everything should drain to the grating, hit the stone, and it'd be like a giant splash pad that's all underneath it. Do you have any questions for us?
I have one. How is the power actually generated through these plants?
I knew that was going to be asked, and Irene can answer that a lot better than me.
Okay.
Hi. Yes, the power is generated through where, if you look at the screen, what looks like the corrugated boxes, those are the actual fuel cell modules. And each box like that produces 1.4 megawatts of power. And what we do is we take pipeline natural gas, and we convert the methane into hydrogen by reforming it within the fuel cell itself. So it's like a traditional fuel cell where you have hydrogen, and we also mix water, and we have onboard water treatment systems where we take city water and we basically make it distilled water or ultra pure water, and we inject that into our system. And what the water does, it prevents coking on the fuel cell cells itself. So that's how the units make power. And we'll be delivering 14 megawatts of power to the, I think it's Indian Wells substation that's right adjacent to it.
Is there a discharge of this water into the river?
Oh, absolutely not. It's all discharged through sewer. And we do have our miscellaneous discharge sewer going through the your application process.
Okay.
There
Ryan, are you still on? Or
I am. So I have a couple questions. We started reviewing this application initially under the assumption that it was something that was required by the agency to review, and then we pivoted a little bit, you know, once we received confirmation from Corporation Counsel that this is not within the jurisdiction of this agency. Having said that, I think I just have a couple minor questions and recommendations, perhaps, just because of the proximity of the activity to the river and the fact that you're within the floodplain. I presume that during your siting council review that there was a flood contingency plan put in place as part of your construction efforts, so that in the event of a flood, prediction of a flood or a large storm event, that suitable measures are taken to try to stabilize the site and eliminate or remove any equipment that can be removed in a fairly quick manner. Is that something that has been considered, at least because of the fact that the site is entirely within the floodplain?
Well, so the whole platform was elevated so the water can never get to it.
I'm not so worried about the finish condition, but is there a flood contingency plan during initial construction phases when the work is going to be done? You know, there's going to be equipment, there's going to be storage materials, there's going to be all sorts of activity within below the platform, clearly.
So,
you have to build a platform.
As far as the platform goes, the steel is going to come in on a truck and it's going to get set that day. So it's not like you're going to have steel floating around on the ground. Because the site constraints are so tight there, I don't have the real estate to just, I don't know if you've been by that site, but there's not a lot of real estate there to just store things. The only area you see is right where those water buffaloes are in the image. So It's all been planned to the point where anything we do is pretty much take it off the truck and put it in that day because we don't have the room. The piles are going to get driven. You'll probably have a stack pile of steel piles that are probably going to be on site for 3 weeks. But the short answer to the question is no, I did not prepare a flood contingency plan because it wasn't a requirement. I will say that if that area does flood, you're going to have a lot more to worry about than the couple of H piles I have on the site, just from all the debris and stuff around the site. But the short answer is no, I did not prepare that plan.
Okay. So what's a reasonable guesstimate for construction duration to get to the point where the platforms are installed and the equipment's?
So the first month would be grading and cleaning up the site. and driving H piles. That would probably take about a month to get all the piles in, to get the site cleaned. At that point, we would do underground utilities in month two and three and start pouring the concrete caps on the piles in month two and three. And then at that point in month four and five, you're starting to set the steel for each section. So each one of these will be built out phase. So you have phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four, phase five. So you keep chasing. So it'll be steel here, concrete deck pans, steel here, pour your concrete, you know, and you, it would just keep mirroring into five phases. So most of the concrete and everything should be poured within 5 to 6 months, at which point we'll start running all our underground conduits that attach to the steel and our gas lines that attach to the steel, the platform, and all our utilities underneath the platform, which are month seven. And then the equipment is around month eight. Set the first plant. It takes about 6 weeks to build the one plant out. So you're looking at 30 weeks worth of build out for all five plants. So the total duration of the project is 14 months, 12 to 14 months. I hope that answers your question.
Yep, that does. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But I guess I was most concerned about whether material, whether this equipment was intended to be sort of remain on site on the ground, or if you were going to be building the platforms and then bringing equipment in it. So it sounds like there's not going to be a lot on the ground, more or less.
No, the way these fuel cell projects go pretty much everywhere is when we're ready for equipment, we notify Fuel Cell Energy. We set up a delivery date. We, you know, one plant usually has a crane on site for 2 days. So we'll set everything. We'll come in on trucks. We'll set them within 2 days. And then the crane goes away.
Okay. And just have a couple, I'd say, minor sediment erosion control recommendations. One, I know it's probably not going to be ultimately needed, but whenever you're adjacent to a river or adjacent to a wetland or close to it, we do recommend that the silt fence be reinforced with either silt socks or hay bales or something like that, just to help provide a little bit more stability to the silt fence in the event that it starts to accumulate. The sewer line and all the utility excavation, there's not going to be much work underground here. There's not going to be much excavation, but in the event that groundwater is encountered, that there's if there's dewatering within any of the trenches, that the dewatering is directed to the pumping settling basin, which is a small, you know, square rectangular shaped stone base surrounded by hay bales and a filter fabric, just to limit how much turbidity would ultimately get down to either the canal or the river, as the case may be. And then lastly, Canal Street doesn't really have any formal drainage, but that where there is leak offs into the canal, that stone or hay bales be placed in front of those when the trenching is going on, so that any disturbed areas, should there be a large rain event, don't run directly into the canal. So those would be my only three suggestions on S&E. Hay bales be incorporated behind the silt fence, that a pumping settling basin be provided if there is dewatering needed, and that that protection be provided to any leak offs into the canal.
Yeah, which is, pretty industry standard for us. I'm a civil engineer, by the way, and mm-hmm. I also am a superintendent and a project manager, so I kind of wear a lot of hats, and I am a stickler. So all my subs that work for me on these projects know what I expect, and erosion control is one of my big, big issues. So
does that mean that we have a commitment to do the suggestions that Ryan has just put forth?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty industry standard. When we run down Canal Street, we're going to provide hay bales in the area that we're doing it, or some sort of silt fence if possible. I do have an erosion and sediment control plan that shows we're going to put an anti-tracking pad right outside our main construction entrance. That way there, any dump trucks leaving the site aren't tracking road dirt down Canal Street. There will be silt fence lining the rear of the property by the Housatonic River. And it is a reinforced silt fence that wraps it. Oh, I guess I should share this document here for you. Hold on 1 second. Um, All right. So you can see our anti-tracking pad is located here. That's basically has our trucks pull out of the site. If there's any mud, it will keep the mud from accumulating onto Canal Street and running down Canal Street. We show a proposed silt fence, kind of wrapping these low contours and coming around the property and then coming all the way to about here. And then everything past here drains this way anyways. So there's no sense of putting silt fence upstream. As we do the sewer work, I see your concern there, and I will work with my site contractor. You can see there's we're showing our proposed sewer line right down here. So, yes, I could run hay bales along this side of the road when we go to do that, if that will make you guys feel more
comfortable. It is curved, so I don't think you're going to have any problem along the entirety of the canal. But really, where stormwater leads off into the canal, a couple key locations is probably all we need to incorporate.
Yeah. So if there's a couple drainage runoff areas, we could
leak offs.
Yeah, we could definitely do something at those. I didn't see any catch basins on that street. That's why I'm not showing any silt sacks. But if the catch basin we run into, we'll throw a silt sack in, right?
Okay.
But this is kind of showing where the sewer line goes. It comes down and then there's a sewer manhole and it continues and it's tying in right here on Route 34. Any other questions, concerns? Again, I appreciate your time. And like I said, I just really wanted to get in front of you guys and explain the project because I find things go much more smoothly when we talk it out in the beginning. And we want to work with the town, city of Derby because we're all vested partners in this project. So
just out of curiosity, what's the status of the siting council application?
It was approved on April 23rd this year.
And in fact, I believe, if I may, Mr. Chairman, there was only two permits in the state of Connecticut last year, and Derby was one of them. And we're taking a piece of property that has given the city $1,500 a year in tax base, and now we're going to generate $200,000 a year for 20 years to a tune of $4 million in taxes from this company to the city of Derby.
Do any of the members have any questions?
Okay. All right. You too. All right. Bye-bye.
Brian, you're all set?
Yeah.
Okay. We really don't have any action to take on this application. We appreciate you coming before us. And we're hoping this is a good project for the city, and that you maintain all the suggestions that Ryan's made and maintain your S&E controls.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Also on the agenda, our public portion.
Mr. Chairman, I believe you may have skipped the Carl Nero application.
Oh, yes, I'm so sorry. It's my understanding we have not received any additional information on that. You know, it's really part of an enforcement action. And what I'm going to do is I'll give Carlo a call tomorrow to prod the applicant to get us the information that we need. And if we don't receive it by the next meeting, we'll have to take action against them. I know we've given him a reasonable time. I don't think the information that we're requesting is all that complicated. You know, we want to have a plan in terms of what he's doing and a site review by a soil scientist. I think those are two fairly simple things to accomplish, especially in light of a violation. So hopefully we'll get that by our next meeting. Let's see, what else do we have? our public portion. I don't believe we have any other public input. Approval of prior meeting minutes. I never received any minutes from the last meeting, so I don't know what the status of that is. I'll inquire with Mark tomorrow. I know we did have someone on board at that point to take the minutes of the meeting, but I hadn't received them as of yet. So I'll talk to Mark tomorrow, and if there have been any minutes that have been completed, we'll schedule those for the next meeting agenda. Finally, payment of bills. I know, Ryan, you have three different bills for us.
That is correct.
And maybe I'll just review them. We have an invoice number 97368, and that's a bill for $700. We also have an invoice 97369, and that's for a bill totaling $1,077.50. And then finally, we have an invoice number 97370, and that's a project invoice amount for $1,706.25. Is that correct? Did I get them all, Ryan?
You did. That is correct.
Okay. Maybe we'll entertain a motion to approve those bills.
I motion to approve them.
Pay them.
Is there a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And that's all we have at the moment for our agenda. Thank you, everyone, for attending. It's really appreciated. Hopefully, we can get things back to normal soon. I hope everyone stays safe. Okay?
Thank you all.
All righty. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Night, everybody.
Jennifer, thank you again for those calls.
Okay. I'll call you tomorrow and let you know how they're doing.
All right, that'd be great. I guess, what do we have? Two more weeks to wait, maybe?
I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty, very good.
8 weeks old.
What's that?
At least 8 weeks old, I would think.
Well, how old will they be then? Maybe about that? Or?
Probably 8 weeks, yeah.
Okay, very good. All righty, you take care now.
Okay, take care. Talk to you later.
All righty. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.